Chapter 19. Laughter and Tears. Lydia laughed as she entered George Mueller's library. "Father, that James Wright is such a tease. Just a bit ago he approached me holding this bouquet of roses. I had a feeling he intended to give them to me. Then he passed me as though I did not exist, walked to the end of the hall, turned around and came back, still ignoring me. When he was again beside me, he fell on his knees and presented the roses. He is such a funny one." "You like him, daughter?" It was more a question than a statement. "Yes, he is a good friend. I'll give him credit for putting life into this place. He has been a wonderful assistant to me this last year, and so cheerful, too." "His cheerfulness is catching," added Lydia. "Yes, I see you have caught it. Don't think your father is too old to notice the blush in your cheeks these days." George stood up. "But I must go see about your mother. She feels poorly this morning," said George, scratching his head. "Yes, I know. I stopped on my way down here. Maybe you can cheer her. Here, take these roses to her." George accepted the flowers and carried them upstairs to the bedroom, where he found Mary seated in a sunny window overlooking two orphan houses. He and Mary laughed over James Wright's antics, while Mary put the roses in water. "I wonder if Lydia realizes he is trying to be more than a friend," Mary smiled. "I think she knows. She just isn't ready to be serious. No hurry, I say." "True. But what word do you hear of the plans for the third house?" asked Mary. "The deed for 11.5 acres of land just across the street has been completed." They paused and both thought about the year of waiting on the Lord. "Remember, we prayed 7 years before the Orphan House 2 was opened. It has only been 18 months since we started praying for the third one, and here is the land already provided." "There is more good news. You know, we only planned for this building to house 400 children. Well, I've had several meetings with the architects, and they find it possible to accommodate 450 children with comparatively little more expense." "That will be 1,150 orphans under our care. Oh, George, sometimes it frightens me to think of the responsibility." Mary shuddered. "Remember the greatness of the number of homeless children, together with the greatness of the Lord's blessings. So many people have given money from their own meager incomes." "It makes me realize that I have but one life to spend for God," answered George. "And I, too, have but one life to give. George, I don't think this rheumatism will get better. I'm going back to the orphan houses in the morning. I seem to forget my aches supervising the housekeeping and laundry. Actually, I'm happier working in pain than I am worrying in pain. You must be sick of the sight of me." "My darling, I never saw you at any time since you became my wife without being delighted to see you." George held his wife for a moment. "Do you think there is a happier couple than we?" Mary hugged George with a fierceness that surprised him. The money for house number 3 continued to come in. A shilling, a pound, a pence. Then suddenly a large donation of 100 pounds or 1,000 pounds. Visitors were frequent. As George was showing visitors around one day, he overheard Denise speaking to a new arrival. "You're taking my place, did you know?" The newcomer, only 7 years old, looked up at the grown-up Denise. "What do you mean?" They were sitting on a brick wall, and her short legs hung only halfway down. "Well, I came here when I was about your age. We moved from Wilson Street the next week, and what a mess. Mud was still all around the building. The workmen were trying to finish the last-minute cabinets, and about 200 children were tracking in mud and fighting over rooms." "Yes, but you said I was taking your place." The child kicked her feet against the wall. "Oh, sure. What's your name, kid?"
"Nancy."
"Well, Nancy, I'll soon be 18, and on my birthday I'm going to the home of a rich old lady. She came here and chose me. I'm to take care of her, drive her out of an afternoon, write her letters, and see that she dresses properly. Well, I guess I'll do whatever she asks. I'm lucky. Some of the girls only get to do what's upstairs maids or cooks. Some go to factories." "But what about me?" Nancy was full of questions. "What happens to me?" "Well, you'll get my room. My uniform won't fit you, but you'll get 3 changes.
"3 changes?
What do you mean? 3 sets of undergarments, 3 dresses, 1 for Sunday, 1 for school, and 1 for work and play. Miss Lydia or someone will sew your name in every piece. I'm trying to sew neatly like she does.
I never needed but 1 dress of 4.
Well, this life is different. You get up at 6 a.m. and make your bed and straighten up for inspection. You have devotions and go to breakfast at 8. School is at 8:45, lunch at 12 o'clock, play period, more school, chapel, work period, and supper. You do lessons until free time, bathe, prayers, and bed.
What if I don't like it? I'm used to being free.
Nancy was undecided.
Yes, and you're used to being hungry, too. I never forgot that. Whenever I got tired of the strict schedule, I remembered how bad it was to be cold and hungry and to have no one to love.
Denise paused.
Looks like we're going to have more mud. See those men digging?
Yes, they're beginning house 3. Henry Craik and George Mueller came here over 20 years ago.
You will like Henry Craik. Everyone laughs because his hair sticks straight up in front. He looks frightened all the time. He makes more jokes about it than anyone else. They will love you. You'll see.
Nobody loved me before.
Well, I love you, Nancy. I think of you as the little frightened girl I was when I came, and now I'm all grown up, with a job even.
I like that. I'd like to be like you.
George walked by the girls with some visitors.
Thank you, God, for letting me hear the girls chatter. Please give me more time to spend with the children themselves, he prayed silently.
For 3 years, everyone put up with the mud, the hammering, the cries of the workmen, as they called for more materials and slapped mortar between the bricks. Every day, the children rushed out of the schoolrooms to see what had been accomplished that day. George loved to watch as the children inspected the new building, laughing and speculating as to what would happen next. The building was scarcely finished, and new youngsters moved in, when Henry Craik suddenly died. The children wept as George preached his funeral. God has called his servant home, he said. He was used as a faithful pastor to support missionaries all over the world, to distribute thousands of tracts and testaments, to aid with the day schools and the orphans. God blessed him with a full life. Over 2,000 children mourned for Henry Craik. Now it was James Wright, to whom George turned whenever he planned for the orphans. Applications still flooded his office daily, but more and more the responsibility for the orphan houses shifted to the younger shoulders of James. He and George conferred frequently.
How are the finances now? Asked George.
We have ended the year with enough money to begin our 4th orphan house.
Thank God you are such a good manager, James Wright. Not one penny has been spent foolishly.
We do stretch every pound, laughed James.
Then let's sign the contract for Orphan House 4. We can use the same floor plans.
1 year later, the house was finished.
George, how long have you been praying for this? Asked Mary.
Only 6 years and 8 months.
And God has already answered?
Every day I walk the streets of Bristol and see troops of wretched, ill-fed, uneducated little ones, George mused. I see forlorn little creatures wandering at large in the streets. How can I say we have done enough? The 4 houses are enough.
George looked sadly into Mary's eyes, then at the sunset.
Pray on, then, for truly much has already come to this world through your prayers. I hope I shall see number 5 completed.
Mary resigned herself to continuing the struggle.
3 years later, Orphan House 5 was open. There had been an urgency for this house, which everyone felt. Lydia, James Wright, George, and Mary had all prayed diligently, and the money came in. Enough to feed and clothe the orphans. Enough to pay the teachers and helpers. Enough to maintain the buildings, and even enough to overflow the building fund. By 1870, thousands of orphans had graduated, and once they were on their own, many sent gifts to show the gratitude they felt for the love and care received. When Orphan House 5 was filled with refugees from the streets, no one was more delighted than Mary.
Thank you, God. I live to see this day. I look down Ashley Downs and see 5 sturdy, strong brick buildings.
enough room for 2,000 orphans. Yes, dear God, it is worth a lifetime of labor, of prayer, of seeking your will. As Mary stood gazing down the street, communing with God, George slipped up behind her and put his arm around his wife. I don't care if every youngster looks out the window, dear wife. I'm going to kiss you, he said. A month later, Mary died. George could not preach her funeral. He could only stare into space and grieve. Surely you could see Mother failing, Lydia tried to comfort him. No, I would not believe it, George said. James Wright and Lydia tried to comfort George through the days and weeks that followed, but he went about his duties without heart. He felt every one of his 64 years. He prayed, but it seemed to him God did not hear his prayers. It seems as though something in Father died with Mother, Lydia told James. What can we do to bring him out of his depression? There is one person as dear to your father as his wife.
Who?
You, Lydia. What can I tell him that would shock him into feeling again? Asked Lydia. James put his arms around Lydia. My dearest, you can tell him we are going to be married. You have known for a long time I love you. I want you for my wife. Will you marry me, Lydia? Yes, Lydia said, it with her eyes and her lips. James was right. The news of the wedding roused George from his depression. With renewed interest in life, he praised the Lord and welcomed his new son. It was as though George Mueller had come back to life. God must have plans for him.